Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from Romans chapter 7 and 8. And our focus this morning is going to be on two verses. First, verse 19, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." And then chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, you have gathered your people to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask that you send the Holy Spirit to work through this word, Lord, so that our faith in Jesus is strong and our lives overflow with love in him. We ask this in his name. Amen. So we are starting a new series today called Tensions. And Tensions is all about something that as Christians we live with every single second of our life. Between two things, two kind of poles, if you will. And we're walking on this line and we're trying to keep our balance, trying to avoid falling off into one side or falling off into the other. And what we're going to discover is that only the gospel of Jesus Christ can provide that balance for the rest of our lives. So we're going to go through five tensions, five of them. And the first one you may be very familiar with, the tension of saint and sinner. Saint and sinner. You know, probably know it through the Latin phrase that Martin Luther came up with, simul justus et peccator, simultaneously saint and sinner. This comes from his lectures on Galatians, in which he writes this, "Thus a Christian man, in woman, is righteous and a sinner at the same time, holy and profane, an enemy of God and a child of God." So we are a sinner and we are a saint simultaneously, literally meaning at the same time. So that's the tension, right? That's our existence. That is our reality as God's people, saint and sinner at the same time. Okay, we get this. But what does this actually look like in the push and pull of the daily life of a Christian? Well, I thought it might be helpful to actually turn to one of the greatest saints that we've ever known, Saint Paul. I mean, talk about a story of a sinner becoming a saint. This self-righteous Pharisee who persecuted the church, who murdered Christians. He was shown incredible grace by our Lord Jesus Christ on that road to Damascus. All of his sin was forgiven when he was baptized by Ananias. And then he was called to be an apostle. He was sent by God to all people to bring the same grace that he had received to them. Now, you would think that because Paul was now a saint, Saint Paul, that's what we call him, you'd think that he would want to do good according to the word of the Lord. You'd think that he would want to obey God's law and he would seek to do his will constantly. We'd be right. But when you look at our text from Romans 7, you notice that there is something going on in the life of Saint Paul. Verse 21, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right," Paul wanted to do right. He wanted to obey God's law. He talks about this as the law of his mind, his inner being. He delighted in the will of God. He wanted to please his Lord and his Savior. But he also writes, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Saint Paul admits he is doing evil. And what's more is he says, "I keep on doing this evil." This was the tension. This was the struggle. This was the battle constantly that Saint Paul found himself in. "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." So, saints of the Lord, you and I face that tension too, don't we? Every single day, every single second of our lives. But what I find interesting and frankly fascinating is the reaction that saints have to this tension and what happens when they move forward in their life as a disciple of Jesus Christ. They actually introduce another tension, a similar tension, in which they seek to deny that they are a sinner and elevate that they are a saint. "You and I are now saints. Therefore, we need to stop being sinners. God's grace in Jesus Christ has made you his holy ones, his saints, and now you and I need to act like one according to the law." And on the surface, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. We are God's people. We delight in his will. We're like, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us by your grace. Now what do? Well, we obey his commands. We do his will, right? We want to do that. But what's fascinating is that you and I actually believe deep down inside that now we can. We actually believe we can, progress, improve, get better as a Christian. So we try to be more loving to our spouse, our kids, our neighbors. We try to work harder at stuff. We try to serve, give more, all these other things that we assume this is what we need to do. This is the treadmill of the law that we need to start running on now that we are saints, right? And we want to avoid. We want to avoid slander, gossip. We want to avoid hurting people. We want to avoid breaking laws. All of that stuff. We do all right, right? But that's when we start to notice something. We're not progressing in righteousness. We're actually retreating from it multiple times a day. We're not improving. We're not shifting gears ever higher. No, we're actually seem to be stuck in neutral, or more likely, we're throwing it into reverse. We're not getting better. We seem to be getting worse. We don't know what's going on here. I mean, how can I describe it? It's like looking in a mirror and you're like, "Who's that?" It's like the Greek legend of Sisyphus the king, who is condemned by the gods to roll a stone up a hill only to have it roll back down, and he just kept doing this again and again for the rest of his life. It's kind of like having that angel and that demon sit on your shoulders. You're familiar with that. They're just whispering, "Oh, you need to do this. No, do this." And the demon always seems to be winning. And have you ever found yourself saying, "What is happening here? Why is this happening? Why do I keep acting like a sinner when I want to keep acting like a saint a holy one of God. Well, you can see that evidently in the life of Paul. You can see it evidently in the text here, but he finally comes to this conclusion, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Okay. "But I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." Oh, Paul acknowledged he was a saint. He was a holy one by the grace of God, but he also says that he's a sinner in his flesh, in the members of his body. In fact, he is held captive to that sinfulness, and he cannot free himself from it. That's why he keeps doing evil. No wonder he says, "Wretched man that I am." Wretched meaning distressed. He is stressed out about his situation. He hates this tension that he is in. It's kind of causing him to cry out. And what does he cry out? "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" That is a turning point in the life of Paul and in this text. He's no longer looking to himself. He's no longer looking toward his attempts at doing the law. He's no longer looking toward his progress or his improvement or getting better or not. He's now looking outside himself. He's now looking to the one who has already delivered him. He's now looking to the one that has already made him a saint, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus had already delivered Paul from his body of death. He had already delivered him by dying on the cross for Paul, for all of his sin. He had already delivered Paul by giving Paul his own saintliness, his own righteousness, holiness, and forgiveness. Jesus had taken this sinner named Paul and brought him into himself so that Paul was in Christ. Therefore, Paul knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was a saint. So that's why he writes probably one of the best verses of Scripture in the entire Bible. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." What does this mean? Well, in other words, saints of God, even though you and I always will struggle with this tension of the sin in our members, the body of death, that we cannot free ourselves from, when you are in Christ, you never, ever stop being a saint. Even when you fail to do good, in Christ, you never stop being a saint. When you do the evil that you want to avoid, in Christ, you never stop being a saint. When you are crying out, "Wretched man or woman that I am," you can always thank God for the deliverance that you have in Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus has delivered you from the body of death. Jesus has delivered you by dying on the cross to take away all of your sin. Jesus has delivered you by giving you his righteousness, his holiness, his saintliness to you. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, when you struggle with your ongoing sinfulness, and it's present and you know it's there, when you struggle that you are failing to progress, failing to improve, failing to get better, you just keep giving in to sin again and again, when you struggle with this, you can trust that you are always a saint. You were still a saint, that there is no condemnation for you because God says so in Jesus Christ. Simul justus et peccator. Simultaneously, saint and sinner. That's our reality. That's the tension. But let me offer one helpful distinction here that at the same time might feel like a gut punch and yet also incredibly freeing. You are 100% sinner and at the same time 100% saint. So while you may struggle with this tension, you and I, until the day we die, the good news of Jesus Christ will also last during that entire time in which God says, you are in Christ. You are my saint. And you are my saint now, and the next day, and the next, whether you do good, whether you give into evil, you are my saint forever. To Jesus be the glory, now and forever. Amen.